Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
All right, ready?
Yeah. Are you going to start or am I going to start? Somebody just needs to say a word first.
Should I just say, hey, Maggie?
I think we're overthinking it. I think we have officially overthought the intro.
You know what I miss? Playing drums.
You have drums in the basement.
I know. That's the thing, is I just don't go down in the basement.
That sounds like a thing you could easily fix.
I think I will. I think I'm going to fix that later today.
Yeah?
You know how you get, you know how you fix that, Maggie?
How?
One step at a time.
Wow.
To the basement.
Wow. Yes, that was good.
And then I'm going to play drums. And then when you get home, we're going to play some drums together in a couple weeks.
I don't know about that. You and Eddie can...
Didn't you used to be a percussionist?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I was literally in percussion. But that was just because... I don't really know why that was. Our classes were really chill. We kind of just got to do nothing all class.
Everybody had to do something. You were good at it, though. I recall that you were excelling at percussion.
Here's the thing. I loved the idea of being like a baddie, like drummer girl. Like I thought that was so cool. Drumming's really hard. Like
it is until it isn't. When it clicks in, when your body kind of picks it up, it gets to be really
hard.
Yeah.
But the whole like being able to like do different rhythms at the same time and like all these things. I mean, like I guess that's just a musical thing in general, but I struggled with it. I kind of get a little frustrated when I don't pick things up immediately.
But you know what? It's similar to dance. It's like when you teach me a dance, it's me trying to compartmentalize my body to do certain things with my arms, different things with my legs, all of it within a time signature. It's really kind of the same thing.
We'll
work it out.
Maybe I'll try again this winter break. Maybe I'll try and learn drums again.
Plus you're a musician. You know, you sing, you play instruments, so you'll pick that up too. In fact, speaking of playing instruments, maybe we should, you know.
Play the intro music?
I think so.
Let's do it.
Max and Dad's wholesome chaos. Max and Dad's wholesome chaos.
It felt weird to say play the intro music instead of roll the intro music.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it's okay.
I guess so.
I was trying to go off the segue because you were like trying to set me up for
it. I pick up on that.
Yeah. To roll with it. So
the apple doesn't fall too far from the segue tree, I guess.
Oh my gosh. So we are in November. We're like not quite mid-November, but definitely in November. And therefore, next holiday is Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Thanksgiving. Do you like Thanksgiving? You
know, tomorrow is Eddie's birthday, too.
Yes, so we've got that first. This is true.
Tomorrow, the day after this podcast actually launches, is Eddie's birthday. It's exciting. And I love Thanksgiving. Are you kidding me? What's not to like about Thanksgiving? It's awesome.
No, Thanksgiving is awesome. But I feel like the thing is, it's kind of Halloween straight to Christmas. Like the day after Halloween, so much of my For You page was like all Christmas things. It was like, it's Christmas time now. Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. I love Christmas, but I feel like Thanksgiving gets overlooked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, possibly. Well, it's not a thing for a large part of the world. It's really an American holiday, and it's a Canadian holiday too.
I was going to say, Canada has its own Thanksgiving, but it's at a different time. There's this first.
Yes, exactly. Do you remember when we went to Germany over Thanksgiving? That was so fun.
I do.
But then Germans don't celebrate Thanksgiving, so we just kind of had to do it on our own. We did it with other American friends we had there, so that was cool.
Yes, we did.
What do you love about Thanksgiving, Maggie? What are your favorite parts?
I think picking the turkey out of the gravy, because mashed potatoes and gravy are my favorite thing, but grandma always puts turkey in it, and so I have to pick it out. Or picking the bacon out of the Brussels sprouts. That's another solid contender.
I don't want to screw up your life and like burst your bubble here, but you realize picking the turkey out of the turkey gravy does not make it vegetarian gravy.
Did I bring my own gravy last year? Did I do that?
You might have.
I might have. I might do that again this year.
I'll help you.
It'd be very easy to just like make a little bit of the gravy without the meat in it. You know what I mean?
But it's kind of what the gravy is.
Yeah, but it doesn't
have to be. The drippings from the meat.
Yeah, but that's grody. That's gross. I don't want to eat that.
And yet delicious.
Yeah. But no, I love Thanksgiving. It's super, super fun. And then I feel like afterwards, I like to prolong the amount of time until we officially go like all in Christmas, because I think it makes that time more special. Like the day after Thanksgiving is when we decorate for Christmas. And then it's like, okay, it's real now. Like we are all in full Christmas mode. But I have been singing a few little Christmas tunes by myself over here. I'm not gonna lie. I'm very, very excited.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, I never understood the day after Halloween, the day after Thanksgiving, going shopping. The whole like Black Friday shopping thing. Let me put myself in the mix to save a few dollars and buy some things.
It's scary.
That doesn't sound like any fun. I don't. Maybe I get claustrophobic in crowds of people sometimes, but
especially I just don't now. Like it. Yeah, I don't like being surrounded by a bunch of people now. It's weird.
Do you think it'll be the same this year? I do. I think it'll be pretty big.
What was it like last year? I really don't remember. Did people go?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that had to have been like peak COVID. Or, yeah, right?
Everybody's shopping online this year.
Yeah.
Do you have a Christmas list started yet? Anything we could be thinking about for you?
Yes. Okay, I don't know if this is too expensive, but a Tesla. No, I'm kidding.
There it is. We're waiting for that Tesla mentioned on this episode.
No, I think I really want to invest in like a juicer. So whether that's a Christmas gift I get for myself or like maybe like something you and mom get me.
I could totally get behind getting you a juicer.
Right? Like that's something I'd get so excited for because you know where I'm living right now, there's apple trees. Like
indeed.
I would go and probably like buy some carrots and stuff. And carrot apple juice is so nostalgic to me because we had it so much growing up. Like my dad would juice carrots and apples all the time before we got into like green smoothies. Like growing up, it was carrot juice. And so it's so nostalgic to me and just makes me feel good inside. And so I would love to have a juicer.
Yeah, I did juice. I was a big juicer for a lot of years. Carrots, apples, celery, ginger. You don't like it when I add the celery and the ginger, but the carrot apple is good.
Celery, you can hide easier than ginger.
Yes, that's for sure. That's for sure. But carrot, apple, celery is super good for you. We'll make some when you get home.
Yes, please. Please.
Jay
Cordage
was the juice man. He was the one who, I saw one of his infomercials or somebody told me about his work and I bought the thing. And I got into like listening to all his cassettes too. Mm-hmm. And I became like this juicing fanatic for a lot of years. It was really cool.
Yep.
The first day I invited my friend Philip over, Uncle Philip, Uncle P, and we were going to do some juicing and we just decided to try all these juices and even make some drinks with them and stuff. And after the first two drinks, we were so full that we were like, well, we just can't keep going. We need to wait now, stop now. But hey, speaking of taking a little pause here, it is time to talk about the sponsor of this episode, which I'm so pleased to tell you is BetterHelp.
Whoop, whoop.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist.
You can start communicating with them in under 48 hours, and it's not a crisis line or self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. There's such a broad range of expertise available, which may not be available near you locally, and the service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account at any time and send a quick message to your therapist, and you will get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy.
And you may be concerned about, like, will you be a good match with your therapist? Well, don't worry about that. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, and they make it easy and free to change therapists if it's needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today, so visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily.
Visit BetterHelp.com/wholesome. That's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. And there's a special offer for Mags and Dad's Wholesome Chaos listeners that you get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/wholesome. Yeah,
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
One of the things I remember vividly about when I was in, like, traditional therapy in high school was the waiting room. And just what an odd environment it is to be in, to kind of just be sitting there with a bunch of people. Everyone's avoiding eye contact. There's couples, like, bickering.
That is awkward. I never thought about that.
No, it's a fun atmosphere, for sure.
A lot of hoodies, a lot of sunglasses, like, come with me kind of thing. Yeah. BetterHelp's a way better way to go. And we appreciate them being a sponsor of the show. So it's been a great day here, Maggie. We had a really exciting event in the studio that we've been preparing for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it went really well, like super good. Great. So Stephanie and Mom and I were the ones obviously in that event, all three of us. And it just felt really good. And I've been on the road a lot at other speeches and events in front of live audiences. And now we're kind of doing a mix of that here. And it's really fun. Like all these other speeches where I'm in front of audiences again, it's their first conference in a long time. Like for most of them, they didn't meet at all last year. And mm-hmm. so I feel like I'm being a part of all these reunions with people coming together and seeing each other for the first time in a long time. And the atmospheres of these live events are just super fun. And I feel like I'm doing better speeches than ever. And I don't know. It's just really different and rewarding in a new way.
That's so exciting. You love your job.
I am very blessed. My job's hard. It demands a lot of you, but I can't imagine a more fun and fulfilling job. Yeah. I mean, I do what I love. I get to meet great people, get to travel to interesting places, and it's always a party, and they clap for you, and you know, they tell you you're amazing and then you leave. It's pretty fun. And now they tell me, hey, I recognize you from TikTok and my daughter follows your daughter and you. And so that happens at my speeches now. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Speaking of parties, I was at an event a little while ago. Actually, not too long ago. And I wanted to tell you about this, and I don't know if this will be as cool to you as it is to me, because I don't know if you know this person, but to our listeners who are roughly in my age demographic, I'm sure this will be very cool to them. But I was at this event. It was really, really fun. It was kind of like a Halloween-ish thing. So everyone was in costumes. It was Spotify's like Halloween party is what it was. And everyone had to be vaccinated and everyone was like COVID tested at the door, which was really cool because I wasn't like nervous inside. Like I think I said earlier on this podcast, like I don't like really being around a ton of people now because it kind of like freaks me out with like COVID and just sicknesses in general. Like I feel like that's most people like during this pandemic and after this pandemic, it's like we just think about things a little differently now, but 100% knowing nobody around you has COVID is a really cool thing. But we were kind of partying, like dancing to this music and stuff. And suddenly, do you know who Lizzo is?
Yes, because you saw Lizzo in Atlanta at Music Midtowns.
Yes.
You and Aiden. And
when I was 16 years old,
exactly.
I saw Lizzo in Atlanta. Or I guess I was 17. And so apparently Lizzo had been out that night and she was driving by Saddle, which was where the party was, and she heard them playing her song.
No way.
And she was like, she said, pull over. Because I talked to some of the people who were running the event after, and this is literally how it happened, is she pulled over and she like got out and she said, you know, to the people at the door, was like, are you guys playing my music? And they were like, yes.
Is that okay?
And she was like, let me come in. And so she came in, went to the stage, which it wasn't like a big stage. Like we were all just kind of there, and she like told the DJ, she was like, play my music, and she grabbed a mic and she started performing live, and it was insane. She was also dressed as Yoda, which was so funny. But literally that was crazy. I was just standing there like, no way. Because the funny thing too was, actually, she wasn't even on stage. She was like standing in front of where the DJ was, like she was just on the ground. And so a lot of us couldn't see her at first. We just heard this person singing over top Lizzo's song. And I was with Ty, and Ty and I looked at each other and we were like, no, like that couldn't be. But also Lizzo's so distinct and I had heard her live before. And so I was like, I don't know, this really do be sounding like Lizzo. And so we got closer and sure enough, it was her.
What did she do when she was done? Did she just take off or stick around for a while?
She like threw the mic behind her and then she left. Yeah. It was crazy. So crazy.
That is wild.
Yeah.
I don't really know Lizzo or her music, but I knowing that story makes me like think good things about her.
Yeah. I've played you some of her music before. I think you thought Jerome was really funny, the song. I'll play it for you again. I'll play it for you again sometime.
I remember it.
Yeah. But yeah, it was.
That reminds me a little bit of a story when Prince was in Atlanta. I didn't get to see this show, but he was at one of the hotels in town, and we had a freak snowstorm in the middle of the winter. And mm-hmm. so people couldn't get out and about. They were kind of like confined at the hotel for a while because the road was closed, because that happens in Atlanta when it snows. And Prince just went down to the lobby, and he used to do this a lot, just like do a spontaneous concert in a small club, or in this case, he just went to the piano in the lobby of the Grand Hyatt or something like that, and just played for a long time. Yeah, it makes me wish I was there.
That's so cool.
But you were there. You got to see Lizzo.
I was.
You talked to her afterward, and
no,
she signed, nothing like that.
Oh, yeah. We're besties now.
She took you for a ride. You switched numbers.
I asked her about Chris Evans.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you get that. That's a whole TikTok thing. That's okay. But yeah, the absolutely crazy wild. Do you want to do a few listener questions?
Okay, this is from Julia. And she says, hi, I'm Julia. And I know this is none of my business, but you said you were sober to me. Did you have a drinking problem? So thank you, Julia. And I appreciate you picking up on that. I did mention a couple podcasts ago that like the confrontation that I had with my best friend was an impetus for me to stop drinking, or one of them. And it is true. And yes, in fact, tomorrow, Eddie's birthday, November 11th, is not only his birthday, but also the anniversary of my sobriety date. And it's 18 years tomorrow. So it's actually pretty, pretty fun, pretty cool.
Wow. It's 18 years.
I know, like almost your whole life.
Yeah.
That's what's really interesting for both you and Eddie. It's like you never really had memories of me when I was drinking, but I did have a problem. I mean, I could say, no, I didn't have a problem with it. I was great at it, you know? I drank often, regularly. And it wasn't that I drank myself into oblivion, or that I was drunk driving, or that it destroyed my life in a lot of ways, but I definitely did have issues. And for me, if alcohol was a part of the equation for me, it was always very front and center in my thinking and kind of like the main thing for me, you know, in terms of social gatherings. I was always keeping track of what everybody was, the alcohol consumption. Maybe it was an extension from like my college experience. Also, alcoholism runs in the family a little bit. And so I was just always aware that this is something I should pay attention to. And it seemed to like be incongruent, very incongruent with my life and the journey that I wanted to be on, being in front of audiences and being a better speaker and a businessman. And, you know, people talk about sobriety and a lot of times, like, I hit a bottom and I knew nothing in my life. I finally hit the bottom in my life and I had to get better because everything was destroyed and crumbling. And fortunately, I looked at it very differently. I said in my own mind, and with your mom, because we kind of made the decision around the same time to support each other, it's like, no, we've hit a ceiling. Like, nothing's going to get appreciably great in our lives unless we remove this from the equation and just take it out completely. And so, you know, I'm not going to be a better speaker or father or husband or run a better business until I just get this out of the way. And then I started that journey of just, what does that look like? And how do you live sober? And even going to get some, you know, going to some meetings with Alcoholics Anonymous and learning some of the thinking and reading the books and getting in that community. And for me, the big kind of like moment of no turning back was not going public with it to people who didn't know me, but going public within my family and, and to my dad, who's actually also sober. So when I told him, Dad, I've got an issue here, then I know there was no turning back. But, you know, Eddie was a big impetus for that too. Did I tell you the story about when it was one evening and it was his fifth birthday when I quit. That's how I keep track. But he was probably four or so at the time. And I had a beer and I had Eddie and we were playing and I was sitting on the couch and he pointed to my beer and he said to me, "That's what makes you happy. It's just a little four-year-old kid." And I'm holding this beer with my son and I'm like, no, you make me happy.
Yeah.
And to me, the fact that that's how he perceived like my relationship with alcohol was like very eye-opening and a huge reason, like one of the other factors that enabled me to finally say, okay, I'm making this decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't heard that before.
No?
No, not the Eddie story. That's wild.
It's true. Yeah. 100% true.
It was
and you were too young to remember it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was definitely interesting just growing up in a household with no alcohol. In some ways, I think it like, I don't know, it for a long time, it made me think that alcohol was like evil. Like it was like this forbidden thing that like we don't talk about. Like we don't, because even like our extended family like doesn't really drink. Even at like family gatherings and stuff, like maybe there'd be a glass of wine once a year. Yeah. But like just in general, like our family doesn't drink a ton. And so it was just like interesting growing up. I think now that I'm older, I have like a better view on alcohol where I know like alcohol's not inherently bad. It's how you use it. It's what you use it for. You know what I mean? But yeah, growing up, it was just like this forbidden thing that like nobody talks about. Like we're not going to talk about it. Nobody does it. It's fine. And so I think it's interesting just being older and having like more knowledge on it now, I guess.
Yeah, we did talk to you about it as you were getting older and, you know, whatever, but it was just never part of life. And I remember growing up in a house where it very much was at family gatherings. Everybody always had a beer. You had your first sip of beer when you were a kid and all that kind of stuff. But what's interesting is when you have certain friends and you realize, when you stop drinking, you realize that with certain friendships, that getting together to party is really a central element to the friendship. And then with others, it's more about the people and more about, like, that's less important. It also makes other people uncomfortable when you kind of make that decision in your life and admit in a way, you know, I had kind of an issue with drinking. For other people who may also have that same conflict, it makes them really uncomfortable because now it puts them face to face with maybe their own, you know, perspective or decision.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have no regrets. Honestly, I can't imagine how my life would be right now had I not made that decision. Because truly, I believe like the amount of joy and success that I've had in my life kind of came in as a result of that decision and being more congruent with my with my message.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, you bet. Well, you know, thank you to Julia for asking the question. And this is the most publicly I've ever shared that story. I don't have any qualms about sharing that story, but my thought is, if it can help someone else, and particularly that idea of maybe it's not alcohol, but it's something else. It's like, no, you don't have to hit bottom in order to remove something from your life. You know, in my speeches, I talk about creating space in your pattern or creating space in your life. If you want something good to come in, you often have to take something else out of your life in order to accommodate that new experience. I think about it that way.
I think it's so funny. I think we're both in like, we're a little, do you know what the term like slap happy means?
Yes.
I think we're both not even like slap happy, but like slap happy, slap tired.
Definitely. Well, like, you know,
we're in goofy, silly moods today.
I was up late. We had a golf weekend with cousin Brandon and Peter came in. We played golf. We were up late watching baseball, and it was really fun and very exciting. And then, of course, with this event, and for me, there's always this emotional release that happens after you perform, whether it's on stage or in a studio show or something like that. Sometimes I get more tired after a studio show because you don't get the audience's energy to sort of replenish you. And so I feel a little slap happy at the moment, for sure. Emphasis on the happy.
Yeah. I tried to go to bed early last night at 2. And then I laid in bed for like 2 more hours because my body was like, no, the weekend's been crazy. Like, you've been out till 4 every night. You got more in you. And I was like, no, we're getting on a good schedule. But my body didn't listen. And I just laid there for a few hours. But I'm working on getting better at that. Yesterday,
was there a lot on your mind? Were you thinking about projects or any specific things?
I was thinking about scripts that I've been working on, honestly. And sometimes that'll be like a relaxing thing to me where I'll be able to fall asleep. But I think also maybe I just got too invested in it. And I was like, well, this, and this. and then it was 2 hours later. Yesterday I had a photography shoot with a friend that, like a friend who's a photographer.
On the beach, right? Did you guys make it up to Malibu?
No, because it got dark. The time wrong for what time the sun sets. Yeah. So we didn't take any pictures. So we're rescheduling and we're going to go up to Malibu for it. But I realized I hate having my picture taken.
What?
Like,
since when?
It depends. Okay. Like, if it's you or mom or like Rachel or Aiden taking my picture, it's a little different. Like, if Annie or someone who I'm like really close with. But I like photographers taking my picture stresses me out. Like, I don't know what to do. I've seen like 4 seasons of America's Next Top Model, but I still like, I don't have a clue. And so I have another shoot this week with a photographer too. And I'm trying to get over this, but I realize like how much I actually hate it and like fear it. Like yesterday I was feeling nervous about it all day leading up to it. And it's literally one of my close friends who's the photographer. Mm-hmm. I was like, why is this a thing? So I'm working on it.
Maybe it's because, you know, because you don't have the same fear about being in front of a camera if you're acting. And so maybe you feel like there's a security about being in it, invested in a character. So it's, and you feel more vulnerable when it's just a photograph of you. So one way to approach it could be to like put a character into your photography sessions.
That's true. I've always said
it'll still look like you. You
know, yeah, even it's easier to be a character than be yourself.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, working on that. We'll
see. Hey, speaking of being yourself, there's a couple questions here I'm going to bring in because I think that's a really good segue.
Oh my gosh.
You know how I feel about my segues.
I do.
Okay, there's 2 questions that are very similar. So check this out, Maggie. How do you learn to be happy by yourself? I feel like I don't know who I am anymore and I don't know what I enjoy anymore. Kristen. But then also we got a question from Tia, or T-E-A. Hello, Maggie and Dan. Recently, I haven't felt like myself. I almost feel like I'm acting with everything I do. Have you ever experienced something like this? And do you know what it is? So feeling like yourself, being yourself, acting, playing a part, who am I really? I mean, it's like kind of the central question of identity. And I know that, you know, for you and me both, as we become more public with our, like who we are with the podcast on TikToks and whatnot, it's like, mm-hmm. how much of your personal self are you willing to reveal and give away? And do you yeah. really even know what that is and who that is? Yeah. How well do you feel like you know yourself, you know?
I think it really does like boil down to who are you by yourself. Like when nobody's around you, who like when nobody's looking, you know what I mean? I feel like yes. that's how you get to know yourself. Because I'm good at being a chameleon. Like I feel like I'm pretty good at fitting into situations. Like I know how to adapt to make people comfortable. Like if that makes sense. But that yeah. that can get dangerous and that can get exhausting because you can forget who you are. And I actually had friend give me some like good advice the other day where it was like, if you do change yourself for like every group of people you're in, you're gonna lose yourself. And like you just gotta be you and find the people who like who enjoy that, who like that's what they want too.
Wow, that's really good advice because yeah, that's the danger. You actually give up your own identity. And when you think about it over the course of your life, the experience of trying things and being things and growing, like you give that away because you're always at the, you know, the whims of those around you, or you're trying to be something they want you to be. So my answer to those questions would probably be, you know, this is a huge opportunity because if you don't feel like yourself, what that means is you don't have a clear picture of your own identity and who you want to be, which means yeah. you get to decide that. You get to say, well, who am I and what do I want to be known for? And realize you're not a product of your environment. You are one of a kind. You're unique. You're original. And maybe ask yourself at the end of your life, like if you imagine this journey, what do you want people to think about the life you've lived? Mm-hmm. And just the other thing about like discovering yourself or discovering who you want to be comes from just trying things. You don't really figure out who you are by staying home and staying inside your room and just getting into a yeah. smaller world. I mean, some of that reflection's good. Like we've talked about journaling before and doing that like inner examination. But when you go out and you try stuff, like I see you do this all the time. You, you know, pick up a new sport. You pick up a new skateboard. You mentioned to me you're ordering some other roller skates, right? So you're gonna say, all right, I'm gonna see how this works, see how this feels. I loved that period of my life where I felt like I was wide open to try a lot of things, and I still can get back into that mode, but it's difficult for me to like start over from the very beginning again. Because I feel like time's precious, right? So I feel like I want to do things that I truly love and am good at right now.
Yeah. No, that's great.
But I would say don't put too much pressure on yourself to feel like you have to know your identity, because you don't. My guess is you're still very young and you have a long time to experience and grow. And who you are at whatever age you're at now, like Maggie, for an example. Who Maggie is at 19 will be very different in many ways than who she is at 29 or, you know,
whatever. I will say though, I think having a core identity is really important. Like knowing your morals, knowing what you care about, knowing where your heart is, I think is going to make you just a lot more secure in life. You don't have to have your like whole life figured out and like know who you're going to be for your entire life, because it's going to change. Like I think that's what you're saying is like you don't have to, like you're going to change, but I think still knowing like what you stand for and like that mm-hmm. aspect of your identity is so important. And no, like you can figure that out like by spending time with yourself and just like realizing like what you're passionate about and stuff like that.
Yeah, and so much of your life you can't control. So to control the things that you can control, like your values, your principles, your integrity, your choices, you can take a lot of pride in that, in those moments where you don't have to make a big deal out of it or make other people feel wrong or less than. But when you make a choice to say, look, that's not me. Like, I don't want to be a part of that. I'm going to make this other decision because it feels better to my heart. It feels better to my life. Then there's a great rush of like validation you're going to get in moments like those because you've just claimed a part of your identity. So I'd say pay attention to those decision points where you get to choose like this or that, and then realize when you choose the right thing, you've just taken ownership of it.
Yeah. Can I tell you a really good quote I heard recently? It doesn't like directly relate with this, but I really liked this quote. Can I remember it word for word? Oh, it was like, the smaller your world, the bigger your opinions. The bigger your world, the smaller your opinions.
Oh, that
I thought
is,
that was so that good,
is,
right?
That is great. Yeah, that is such a good quote. It reminds me of something my friend Paul Shemp, he's an expert in expertise, if that makes any sense. He coaches and helps people really figure out how to get better at different sports. He's worked with athletes and all kinds of things. But he does this thing where he surveys people and asks them how much of your sport, like if you had to rate yourself in your level of expertise from a scale of 1 to 10, how good do you think you are? And invariably, the people who are, you know, just mediocre give themselves higher scores than the experts. The people who are experts understand there's so much more I could learn about this. And I'll never be done learning and growing. And so they see the full spectrum in the top end. It's also like traveling. I mean, your quote also made me think of that. Like how much humility you get from visiting other places.
Yeah, when like the culture you were raised in isn't the only culture you know anymore. I think that was a huge thing growing up. It was just like, I don't know, just as you get older, as you meet more people who are so different than you, like I really do feel like my opinions are so small now because I just see like every side of everything. You know what I mean? It's like when you realize how big the world is, you realize how little you actually know. You're like, maybe you realize everything's not about you. And I think that's a really cool thing of growing up.
Yeah. Yeah. The way I put it was, take your life seriously, but take yourself unseriously.
Yeah.
Like, and that kind of puts the two ideas together from the beginning. It's like, recognize you get one chance to live your life, so live it by principle and integrity, and even the small things really do mean a lot. You just have to know, like, you're here on this planet for a reason, and your contributions make a dent. Like they make a ripple. But by the same token, it's not about you. It's not really, it's never about you. And so when you can, you know, keep your opinions small and keep yourself in a manageable place, maybe a lack of identity isn't the right thing, but a properly proportioned sense of self could be really useful.
What's mom would probably know this, the Mother Teresa quote. Do you know what one I'm thinking about, Mom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she sure does. About I know what it
works.
Is.
What is it?
We can't all do great things, but we can all do small things with great love.
Yeah. That's great. I love how this, now we're just like bringing up every quote that we're like, this is so good. But no, when a quote really hits you, whew.
Well, that's when powerful. It's the kind of thing you put that in your pocket and you're like, I can use this. Like, that's kind of like the type of speaker I want to be. Like for somebody in the audience, I can say something that they're like, okay, I can use that in my life in some way. And they may not remember everything, but they might remember that little quote.
Do you know my favorite quote of yours?
No.
If you limit yourself to what's comfortable, you deny yourself what's possible.
That's a good one.
I think that's money. That's so good.
Thank you, Maggie. That's very sweet of you.
Isn't it nice when your kids tell you they like something you do?
Yeah. It's also on a t-shirt.
This is true.
Which you can get buy at danthurman.com.
I was going to do the promo for you, but you got it.
No, it's quite all right.
Wild.
All right. Well, I feel like every week I tell you to get some sleep.
I feel like I got good sleep last night, even though I laid there for a long time. I went through the motions of sleep for a long time. You get some sleep. You're tired too.
I'm going to. I'm going to go play some disc golf and go take the dogs to the park and then go get some sleep.
I'm going to go to Phil's Coffee with a friend, do some homework, and then I don't know what the night holds. But sleep at some point.
At some point. There's definitely sleep in the equation.
Yes.
All right. Well, I love you, girl, and have a great week, and I will see you real soon. All of you out there, hey, you're amazing. You're incredible. We love you too, and we want you to be a part of this podcast going forward. Invite your friends to be a part of it also. Go to wholesomechaos.com to ask any questions and to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Yes, we also have a website, www.wholesomechaos.com. You can go out there and ask us questions, and also follow us on our other socials, Maggie Thurman and Dan Thurman, Maggie's Dad 123 on TikTok. That's it. That's the podcast. What? Why are you laughing? Did I do it wrong? Did I mess up?
No, it was good. You kind of repeated me a little bit, but that's all right.
Oh, about the website. I realized it as I was saying it. It's okay.
We don't have two websites. It's still the same website.
Maybe they won't notice.
No, I don't think so.
Pretend you guys didn't notice. All right. We'll see you guys next week, and we'll do the outro better next week.
Okay. Take care, everybody.
Bye. Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos. Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos. You look so zoned out. Do you want me to sing you a lullaby? Do you want to take a nap right now?
Mm-hmm.
What's a lullaby? I can't think of a lullaby. What are lullabies? Good night, moon. That's a book. That's close enough.
In the great green room, there was a telephone and a red balloon and a picture of a cow jumping over the moon. Good night, moon.
Good night,
moon. Good night, room.
Good night, Dad.
Good night, Maggie.